Okay, you gotta get more excited than that about Hans. Come on, are you feeling inspired at all? Okay. Are you ready to raise up? I do not believe that. Are you ready to raise up? Okay, I have a little funny for you. We'll see how little it is. It was Palm Sunday, and because of a sore throat, 5-year-old Craig stayed home from church with a babysitter. Oh, hate that. And when the family returned home from church, they were carrying their palm fronds. Wave your palm fronds. Wave your palm fronds. Okay, I can see you. So when the family got home and they had these palm fronds, Craig inquired as to what they were for. And people held them over Jesus' head as he walked by, is how his father responded. And Craig said, "Wouldn't you just know it? The one Sunday I don't go and he shows up." Compliments of Louis, Olivieri, and Google. Thank you, Luigi, and thank you for providing the palms. And I'm so glad that Kathy mentioned that we had this wonderful time together yesterday at Unity in Harlem. It was really great. I thank those of you from our community, again, who showed up. We had some good food and some good time. And Ray and Dakota raised the roof. It was a great day, and it's so great to build those bridges with our fellow communities. And I'm so honored that Reverend Carol Hunt had asked me in the first place if I would be their keynote speaker that day. So we already know it is Palm Sunday. This is not the ultimate step on Jesus' journey. It is the penultimate step on the journey. What does that mean? Next to last, you in the car. It'll be at 103rd and West End. I just don't know which one it is. So it's the step for the personality to be obliterated in order for the Christ in you to move forth. And Kathy already read the scripture on the front of the bulletin. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna." Shouting, "Hosanna." "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." So clearly, we're having church today, okay? You okay with that? Now, metaphysically, hosannas represent the joy that all the thoughts in our consciousness shout when we overcome error thinking. And it's what we need to be saying to ourselves every time we choose the spiritual way over the ego way. Remember what the ego is? What's our acronym for the ego? Edging God out. And we want to be able to flip that around to entertaining God only. Right? From edging God out. And sometimes we need encouragement, right? And we keep looking for it out there. It's part of our human nature. Even though we know all of this stuff deep within, we're doing this work together to uncover it. It's an uncovering, it's an unlearning to get back to the truth of who we are. Things happen because we're here on the planet, we're living life. People are going to come and go. Right? Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah. The news is going to be up and down. And the thing is, God is our one constant. Amen?
Amen?
God is our one constant. God is your one constant. God is my one constant. So what about these palm fronds? Well, metaphysically, these palm fronds represent the physical, unlimited resource of strength that is always available to us. Now think about it. Anybody that's familiar with a hurricane, raise your hand. Okay, Think of how the palm trees can bend. Those winds, say, you know, 130, 140 miles per hour, those palm trees are bending, and most of them are surviving. And the thing is, God is the tree and we are the branches, because we are all part of the same body, because we are one and God is within us. Yes? Okay. So God is our one constant. I am doing my best. I, Britt, am doing my best to show up every morning to honor my spiritual practice. Now, you know I'm going to ask you, because I love to do it, ask you how you get to Carnegie Hall.
Practice, practice, practice.
I practice, practice, practice. Say it again. How do you get to Carnegie Hall? And it's our spiritual practice, practice, practice that strengthens us and stretches us and expands our consciousness. So what is your practice? Is it meditation? Is it dedication to meditation, prayer? We were talking about prayer yesterday because it was a prayer breakfast in Harlem. And the simplest definition of prayer, simplest definition is communion with God. And there are as many ways to pray as there are people on planet Earth, and then some. And if you happen to be confused about prayer, you are in luck, because Sean and I will be leading a class in Unity Prayer starting at the beginning of May. Because I know some of you are still confused, and there's a lot of trepidation. I don't want to say fear, because fear is forgetting everything's all right, not false evidence appearing real. Can we let that one go, false evidence appearing real? Yeah, okay, for both of you? Kick it to the curb. Okay, amen. So whatever your spiritual practice is, what it's about is listening to the inner voice and then following it. Listening to the inner voice. And I want us to do this together. I want all of us to be able to do this together. That's what community is about. That's what Kathy was talking about earlier when we got together at Unity in Harlem yesterday. Community coming together. And we had new friends by the end of that experience. And we are all collectively here for uniquely the same reason. Something different for each one of us brought us here, but we're uniquely here for the same reason today. So we are offering that prayer class so that we can alleviate some of the confusion about it and share in the power of prayer together, because we talk about it all the time, right? Yeah. It's what started Unity. So we got to get clear on prayer. So, about today's talk title. One Jesus at a time, sweet Jesus. That is what came to me when I was in Florida with my family a couple of weeks ago. Who remembers that country song? One day at a time, sweet Jesus. Thank you, Sheila Barish from Nashville, and some of your friends that are scattered throughout today's congregation. Hallelujah. But I was with my family, and many of you know that, because my stepdad has been in the hospital since the beginning of March. And how his soul has not left yet is beyond us, but the soul has its journey, because his body is so done. But he is sticking around, and he's just miserable. He's just absolutely miserable. And while I was down there, I had envisioned a lot of spare time to be doing work, sitting in an ICU ward, thinking I would have time to just, you know, hold space and work, you know, multitask like we all do. Man, those people in hospitals interrupt so much, especially in ICU. So I had to find strategic times to make any calls, and I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone while driving in, and he shared a story with me that was, I'll just say, rather upsetting. And I got off the phone, and it was about people who I'm close to. And this friend said, I think that you should know what's going on. And I was already at such an emotional place of being, feeling as raw as I could, just vulnerable, emotional. And I get this information that is well intended. And by then, I'm sitting in the parking lot waiting to go into the hospital for many hours. And I'm like, well, ain't this just as biblical as it can be? Because it feels like Judas. It feels like a bunch of Judases. And I've already got enough going on. I'm like, God, I am good. Can we put a little moratorium on my growth for right now, for just a minute? Okay? I'm not going to fit in this car if I get any more growth. And if I step out of this car and a swarm of locusts come at me, like Job, I'm getting back in and I'm driving as far as that tank of gas is going to take me. I am just getting out of here. So I just in that moment felt like I've had it with what feels like the Judases in my life. Now, Judas doesn't necessarily have to be a person, but the character of Judas is a person. Metaphysically, Judas represents our life force that is going for the sake of its own selfish needs. Judas, in the story, was a thief. Judas was a thief. So Judas, if you know that Judas is a thief, and Judas metaphysically represents selfish needs, Judas is robbing us of our higher nature, our spiritual raising up that our souls are craving. Our souls are craving to rise. So Judas in our lives is the betrayal of the Christ in us, our highest self, the truth of who we are. That's where the real betrayal is. And for me, because we've all got to find our portal, our entry into all of this work that makes the most sense to us, right? We got to find that place. And so for me, I think of Judas as kind of spiritual constipation, because it's a blockage expressing that is fully expressing who we really are. It's a blockage. It's a blockage to that. Now, it's interesting to know that when the Gnostic Gospels were unearthed those recent years, they found a book of Judas. They found a lot of good stuff. And they found the book of Judas. And the truth from the Gnosticism was that Judas and Jesus were the absolute best of friends. Their bond was as strong as brothers, as strong as they could be. And Judas and Jesus both knew. They both knew of Jesus' destined example to transcend earthly life. And Judas was in agreement to play the role of the betrayer, not out of spite, but out of his deep love for Jesus. He was willing to sacrifice his eternal earthly reputation in order to help the one he loved the most fulfill his calling as an example of the possibility of earthly resurrection and of metaphorical resurrection. Now, who among us loves like that today? Really, who could do that? I think about this, and I have had people close to me, very close, some closest to me, tell me that especially in a situation like my stepdad is going through right now, where, to be blunt about it, he's almost like a corpse, but his vital signs are good, so things don't match up. To the point that when he was having a massive heart attack, his EKG showed up fine. And they did blood work and found through the enzymes in his blood that he was having a massive heart attack. And they threw him in a helicopter and got him to Pensacola and did a 7-hour open heart surgery. And so I've had people in my life say, I'm going to save up pills. You can put a pillow over my face. Please don't let me live like that. We can treat our animals kinder than we can treat each other. And while I agree with that, the thought of actually following through with that, I don't think I could do it. I'm sorry, Lewis. I don't think I could do it. And that's what Judas did. He betrayed his bestie possible so that he could fulfill his destiny. So what is our message for today from this Palm Sunday story? Now, Jesus was fully a man, and Jesus also fully realized his divinity. Fully human, fully man, fully realized his divinity. His outward journey and his spiritual mastery showed us how to apply what he did to our own lives. He said, that which I do, you can do greater. That which I do, you can do greater. You've heard that before, right? Say it with me. That which I do, you can do greater. So from the story that's in the Gospels, but the one that's most commonly quoted is from Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh into Jerusalem and came into Bethany, unto the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, and he said unto them, go into the village, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And they were like, okay. And so, what does Jerusalem represent? I mean, just in our modern day world, what does Jerusalem represent? Not metaphysically, what is Jerusalem? Holy Land, Holy City, Holy Land. And metaphysically, Jerusalem represents the place of peace in our spiritual consciousness. So Jerusalem is the place of peace. And in unity, we not only look at the historical and the cultural context in the time that it was written 2,000 years ago. In the story, we also look at the message beyond the physical. We keep talking about, or at least I keep referring to metaphysical. Beyond the physical. Metaphysical. And what we call the way we look at the Bible, that which transcends the physical, is, okay, nobody really interprets the Bible literally, right? Okay, let's divide up. Do you really think people interpret the Bible literally?
Yes.
Okay. Here's the way it usually plays out. The people who say they interpret the Bible physically, I mean literally, Freudian, I don't know what that was about, being hit with it. The people who say that they do interpret it literally take bits and pieces and they call it literal. And they leave out the parts they disagree with. Because are there any true Bible scholars in the room today? Where is John Spong when you need him? There are so many contradictions throughout the Bible. It's books of stories, of writers. Again, we look at the historical and the cultural context from the time things were written. And for me, growing up in my little town in the middle of Florida in the South, people don't think Florida is the South unless you're from there, you know it is. So growing up with the small degree of understanding that I was taught about the Bible told me I was a sinner. And I was like, oh, God, I'm so going to get caught at something. And I didn't really care to learn much more about that, about this being a sinner thing. So I didn't. You know, Sunday school and Bible school in the summer and everything. I'm like, yeah, I'll do the crafts. I'll do that stuff. Because I really didn't care much about learning, continuing to learn that I was bad. But you know what? I intuitively felt and knew that I had a very personal, private relationship with God. I can vividly remember that as a kid. And it was very important to me. And I couldn't tell anyone about it because it didn't match up with the church stuff that I knew. And so I felt a lot of confusion, a lot of conflict, which is why I felt euphoric when I found unity. I was in my mid-30s, and I'm like, oh my God, this has to be the truth of who I am, because it resonated like, it was like lightning in my body. Eric Butterworth, my first teacher, I was like, wow, I just started right at the top. And I learned that I was good. I wasn't this bad person that I was taught during childhood. And in unity, we don't just say that we are one character, one aspect of the Bibles. We say that we are all the characters. Now, the donkey, the ass, the colt, and the story represents our animal instincts, which is our lower nature. I'm not crazy about giving animals a bad rap like that, because I really kind of think it's the other way around. But that's another Sunday, that's another talk. We'll do that over wine. But our lower nature are those aspects of us that want to react. They want to be right. It's our addictions. It's that survival mode of the little part of the brain right back here. And now don't get me wrong, it serves us. There are times it serves us. We need that. We're all of it, right? We're alpha to omega, A to Z. But life was not just meant to survive. And how often do we feel, especially right here in New York City, that we're in survival mode? Anybody besides me? It's survival of the fittest. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. You know the song. And they'll just keep raising rents all around you. Just, yeah. Life on planet Earth, at the capital city of planet Earth, New York City. And I love this place. I love this place. I'm so glad my soul got me here. And it got me here for reasons that I would never have thought of. Kind of like this one right now. This wasn't what brought me to New York City. But when I found unity and said yes, this is what unfolded. And it still amazes me. I was in Harlem yesterday just amazed, looking out and having this connection and feeling this connection with every one of you right now in this place. It's it's a lot. So here's the deal. When we live from our higher self, we manage that animal self, that lower vibration in us. And again, it's not about discarding it and cutting it out. There are times that we need it. But let's go back to the story in the scripture. Back to Matthew 21. And the disciples went and did even as Jesus appointed them. And they brought the ass and the colt. And they put on them their garments. And he sat thereon. And the most part of the multitude spread their garments in the way. And others cut branches from the trees. Connection? Okay. Waved them overhead. Put some of them at his feet to make way. Okay. And they cried, the multitudes cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, who is this? And the multitudes said, this is the prophet. This is the guy, Jesus, from Nazareth of Galilee. This is him. And so this season is about remembering who we are. It's all about being raised up. I asked you first thing, are you ready to be raised up? This is about being raised up out of all the muck, out of my history, out of the news, out of any current crisis I'm going through in my life. Being raised up out of extreme emotionality and inadequacy, out of the areas of my life where I feel I'm not enough. And I know that we all have them, or we would not still be on planet Earth. We all have them. Are you with me?
Yes.
Would it work for you to be raised up?
Yes.
That is not as many as said it to begin with. How about this? To be spiritually alive?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Because I want that. And this is all part of the spiritual process. And the fact that even though you walked through these doors today and are right here means that you are in spiritual process. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Amen! And as Leilani Burt says, amen! In so many of our traditional backgrounds, we're taught that we are punished for our sins. And in unity, we are taught that we are punished by our sins. Because there is a consequence for behavior, not a punishment. It's the law of cause and effect. It's how we are smoothing our edges. It's how we're expanding. And right now, these holy days are about a time of transformation. But there is a spiritual preparation to get you there. And that's what we're doing here together. So if you are in a place in your life right now of turmoil, of crisis, you are right on track. Woo-hoo!
Yeah!
Okay, God, I said yes. And don't think you're doing it wrong. That is the spiritual journey. Figuring it out. It's when our human circumstances seem so overwhelming that it's those times that we instinctively turn to prayer, right? When things are rough. Because there's something very comforting about communing with a higher power. Which, again, is what prayer is. Communing with God, a higher power. Whatever name for God, for that energy, the allness of all that is, works for you. And the soul is always seeking to experience the raising itself up to a higher place. When we say we want to grow spiritually, expand in consciousness, Spirit says, hallelujah, cool. And as much as Jesus showed us the way, what his life was about was doing it so we could do the same. Leaving a blueprint, leaving a template. So this week, of Palm Sunday into Easter, we're in a time of spiritual work. Now remember, you walked in here today all on your own. And once you know something, you can't claim ignorance to it anymore. You can't go back and la 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 la. Okay? And we've got plenty of ways to support you this week. We've got forgiveness class Tuesday night. There is the Unity Pride group Wednesday night. Friday, the meditation experience with Paulette Pipe. which will be transformative because that's what she does on the planet. She is a transformer. So we've got plenty of options this week right here at Unity. But whatever it is for you this week especially is a time of spiritual work for each one of us, of dedication to meditation, prayer, journaling, whatever resonates in your soul that you know connects at that deepest spiritual level. And I know that when I'm in process, which is all the time, and I stay committed, and I'm with you, it's not easy to stay committed to the spiritual practice. It's like when you stop going to the gym and you keep trying to get back there, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I've been saying that every day for 4 months because I got off my routine. But when I'm committed to my spiritual practice, and I really listen, when I really listen inside and out, Spirit is giving me all kinds of clues about what's coming. And this week, leading from the crucifixion to the resurrection on Easter Sunday next week, really give yourself the gift of that time with God, of that spiritual work, because the payoff is absolutely amazing. And now is the perfect time because there's an energy right now that's coming in to support your growth and your evolution. Can you feel it? Yes. Feel it in this place. Just go, everyone goes. There's an energy. You sound like bees. Yeah, that was spontaneous. In Sufism, there's a saying that when we come one step, God comes 1,000. Goosebumps. When we come one step, God comes 1,000. So when we start to move, Spirit says, let's go. Let's do this thing. And I want you to remember, I really want you to get this, that no matter what anybody tells you, your spiritual life right now is the most important thing in your life. Your spiritual life is the most important thing right now for every one of you, for every one of us. Everything else in your entire life extends out from your relationship with God, with the divine. Charles Fillmore declared, the real search for all people is for God. How cool is that? The real search for all people is for God. And our spiritual work, the work you are doing, the work that I know you're doing, Lori, Mary, Dakota, you worked it yesterday. Dianese, Bobby, Sally, Tracy, Mercedes, Carmen, Stephanie, Maritza, Sarah, Tony, I would love to call each and every one of you by name. The work that you're doing right now has a global impact. Every time that you do your spiritual work, it's like the same effect as the ripples going out in the pond when you throw in the stone. You are having a global impact when you do this work and commune with God. So the work that you're doing to align your consciousness with God literally makes a difference in this world. I believe this.
Yes?
Yes? Yes. A few more?
I
believe that the work you are doing to align your consciousness with God literally makes a difference in this world. And we are living in a time when we're bombarded with things that say the opposite. Like, we have no power. power. We got all the power. We keep being told we don't. We've got it all. Things that are up for you right now, for me, for us, are up to be healed. We don't stay in fear, in anxiety, in emotional crisis. It's normal. This is all normal because you're about to take the next step in consciousness. So all of that crap has to come up to be healed, to be purged, because you are making room for that next step in consciousness. And sometimes we just have too much baggage we're trying to bring on the journey. We need to hear that divine flight attendant in our head saying, "I'm sorry, only one bag, and it must fit in the overhead compartment or under the seat in front of you." Because we're carrying trunks from the past. And say, "But oh my God, this one's got so much of this in it." Let it go. Go see Frozen. Let it go. Let it go. You get to decide at what level you're ready to accept your holiness and your goodness. You get to decide. How much good God has for you are you fully ready to accept? It's up to you. I really want my life to be full of abundance and joy and love beyond measure. How about you?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I love that one person said yes, Holla.
Yes!
Yes! I believe you. Even if I had to annoy you to yell it out. Steph's like, yes, quit asking. I am. I am ready to be raised up. And if you are in agreement with this, say it with me. I'm ready to be raised up.
I'm ready to be raised up.
Say it again.
I'm ready to be raised up.
I believe it. And for those of you that didn't say it, that's okay. That's honest. Or maybe you said it internally. We are exactly where we need to be. And I want to tell you that each and every one of you is a leader because you are leading your own life. So you're already a leader. We come together here to receive encouragement, the encouragement that we need. We come here together to gather and grow. That's what we declared for 2019, and that is what we're doing. We come together to gather and grow. And I hope that you feel encouraged and supported by this community of absolutely amazing individuals, all of you included. My hope and desire is that you have received some encouragement that you came in for today. Namaste, hallelujah, Hosanna, and so it is. Amen. Happy Palm Sunday. And we now have the opportunity to take it deeper, to take it to a deeper place of meditation. And we begin by reminding ourselves to release, to let go. And the silence, oh my soul. So let's know this together in the power of song that is prayed twice. I release and let go in the silence, oh my soul. I release and let go. Oh, my soul, I forgive every wrong. I forgive. be there now. In the Unity Lenten book, there's a beautiful writing today by Martha Spock that says, do you feel bound by what you have been? Bound by the past, bound by your lacks, bound by the picture you've created of yourself in your own mind and in the mind of others. The beginning of your freedom lies in your own mind. And when you let go of limiting and binding thoughts, you find that conditions, persons, or circumstances no longer have power over you. Something in you knows that you are greater than anything you have yet experienced or expressed. And this inner knowing, this feeling of potential greatness, is the Spirit of God in you trying to break through. It's like sunlight that may be temporarily hidden behind the clouds, but the clouds can never take away the light. Nothing can erase or lessen the bright, glorious, wonderful Spirit that is in you. Realizing that you are essentially a spiritual being, you are able to step forth to be the self God created you to be. Perfect love casts out fear, and God is with you as perfect love. You cannot be afraid in the presence of God. You cannot be doubtful or anxious. You cannot be bound by what you have been in the past. You cannot be limited by what you have thought of yourself or what others, anyone else, has thought of you. Here in this present moment, you are free. You are a child of God. You are standing on holy ground. And as we meditate on the idea that there is a Spirit in you that is unfettered, unbound, triumphant, splendid, glorious, free, you cannot help but respond to this transcendent vision. Open the ears of your heart and allow these truths to just settle in. Because you are loved, you are strong, you are held, you belong, you are enough. Believe. It's true. Simply lay down the baggage and simply believe in the silence.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every You'll have every fairy god, and you'll have